for this wonderful opportunity that you've given me, Lord, your servant, to preach and teach your unadulterated, your irrefutable, your immutable word. Father, I pray that as you give me utterance, that I would speak the truth in love, Lord, but yet with power and authority, that I would speak, Lord, such that the youngest to the oldest among us would be able to understand and be able to assimilate your word in our heart, and then that we might have a will to do according to your good pleasure. Lord, I thank you for these young people who we acknowledge and honor today as our future leaders. Lord, bless them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, I embarked upon a series of messages for this month regarding our duty to give God thanks. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says what? In everything, give thanks to God, for this is his will concerning us in or by Christ Jesus. And so what we've tried to articulate is that we don't just celebrate the fourth Thursday of November every year as a single event, or when we gather together for Sunday worship and service, or midweek. Every day is a day that we can express our thanksgiving unto God through our lifestyle. So for Christians, it's not thanksgiving, it's thanksgiving. And what we said in the preceding messages, we first spoke on the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And that is in our humanness. There are some character traits that we have to kill. And the way we kill them is we offer them up to God. I'm talking about things like our selfishness, our self-centeredness, wanting to do things our way. And when we offer those things up to God with a sincere heart, then the Spirit of God is then activated to begin to kill those things. And as God gives us opportunity to walk in the truth of his word, then we have the opportunity to choose to allow God to have his way. And then we talked about giving thanks during difficult times. It's very easy to thank God and anybody when we're having favorable results, whatever those things might be in our lives. But God wants us to be a thankful people, particularly during difficult times, because in my mind, it shows that we have faith in God. We trust in him. The scripture that continues to evoke thoughts in my memory and in my spirit is that God says all things. Say all things.
All things.
He says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are the called according to what?
His purpose.
That's right. And if we're called according to his purpose, then we understand that we serve the omniscient God. We serve the omnipotent God. We serve the omnipresent God. We serve the God that cannot fail. And he's given us a prescribed pathway if we will activate our faith. And especially during trying times, especially when we find ourselves, you know, challenged, when we find ourselves in relational issues, those are the times when we got to call those things that be not as though they are. And we do it with a heart of thanksgiving. Then last week, we gave you kind of a historical perspective and talked about the pilgrims who came over from England, landed at Plymouth Rock and near Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and how they were men and women of God. And just to get over to these shores was a test of their faith. And God used them and favored them with a band of Native Americans that they established what we call Thanksgiving Day, that we observe the fourth Thursday of every November. And they used to set aside on their plate 5 grains of corn that reminded them of the goodness of God. the protection of God, the power of God, the provision of God, even during those difficult times. And so we gave you a historical perspective. Today, we're just going to thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. According to the Word of God. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm, the 100th chapter. And we're going to look at the first five verses of that psalm. So I'm not going to be long with you today, but we're going to conclude our series of messages about giving God thanks, but we don't conclude in the fact that we're charged to live a life of thanksgiving unto God. And here the psalmist David, who I had mentioned earlier, was challenged. His life was being threatened by King Saul. He was a man who was being pursued. His very life was at stake. But yet, being a man after God's own heart, he saw how big his God was over his circumstance. Amen. And he could praise God and he can give thanks unto God. And so in this 100th psalm, the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." He says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Amen. "For the Lord is good." Say that with me. "For the Lord is good." Let's say it one more time. "For the Lord is good." Let's continue. "His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." And so we're going to thank God today just for who he is. Hallelujah. And I just want us to know that the word either thanks or thanksgiving or being thankful occurs in the scripture, the Old and the New Testament, at least 139 times. So that lets us know that God puts a very premium on his people being willing and able to give him thanks for a variety of subjects. But I just want to say a few things about these five verses. And what I want to do is I want these thoughts that begin with the same letter S to be something that we can remember. So if you're taking notes, follow along with me. The first we want to deal with is the sound. The sound. You see, when we speak out of our mouths, the Bible says we can speak blessings, we can speak curses. He says we can speak life or we can speak death. But here the psalmist says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And so when he says, "Make a joyful noise," it means that out of the abundance of our heart and out of the abundance of the spirit, whether we are in tune or out of tune, it's a heart thing. It's not so much a sound thing. Now, I'm not trying to say that we should do all we can to perfect the gift, to perfect the delivery of whatever service that God gives us to render to him and to others. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, if you can't sing, if you think you can't sing, you can still sing. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you make that joyful noise unto the Lord knowing that, you know, I am fully satisfied with God. You know, I used to love my children when they were young. When they were really satisfied, they used to hum. I mean, they used to make a joyful noise. They were fed, you know, they were dry. And they used to hum, and you could tell that they were satisfied, they were happy. And we do that as adults, some of us when we get in the shower, right? We sound like Luther Vandross when we're in the shower. Yeah, stay in there, right? No, but what I'm trying to get us to see is that there are times in our lives when we are joyful and we sing. We make noises. And God says, look, we should be able to do that for him as a lifestyle. I tell you, the more I listen to songs, that some of the old hymns in particular, and the lyrics and what they mean, I mean, it just evokes a song in my heart. And so God wants us to praise him with the fruit of our lips. Bible says what? He inhabits the praises of his people. And that's the next point. He says, serve the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. See, God's intention is for all people to praise him. But in this context, he's really talking about his people. We can't expect, you know, the unbeliever to praise God, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We can't expect the unbeliever to do that. But you and I, as his children, he expects us to be willing to render unto him spiritual songs. Amen. Songs that evoke our adoration and our praise and our reverence of God. And so that's why we try to begin our service by singing songs of praise and worship to evoke God's presence and his praise, so that God can become, you know, excited about his people because they have a right heart. Now let me say this, and I commend you on many Sundays. When you come in here with the attitude of praise and worship, God always shows up. But if we come in complaining about what happened this week, or we come in, you know, with all kinds of encumbrances and things, it's difficult for the glory of God to really break through. So really our preparation time is before we get here on Sundays. Amen? Our preparation time is before we get to the next meeting we're going to have. Our preparation time is when we wake up, really. You know, I thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Old folks say, starting me on my way. My bed wasn't my cooling board. Blood warm, running warm in my veins. You remember that, Mama Ruth? Okay. Yeah, I didn't do that in your church. All right. My bad. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, we wake up with an attitude of praise, and as his people, then we got to move to the area of service. He says, serve the Lord, how? With gladness. Now, when we look at that word serve, not only does it mean to honor God, not only does it mean to worship him, but it means to do some physical exercise in the sense that you make one weary. So when we serve the Lord, we serve him with gladness. Now, many of us, we come and we serve the Lord, but it's not with gladness. I got to get up this morning, got to make my way to church. You know, had a rough day, left night. I got to go hook up with those folk. You know, we're not serving the Lord with gladness. And I know I'm talking the truth. Some of us coming in here late because we're not really motivated. And I'm challenging whether we are serving the Lord with gladness. Because when you're glad, that means you're motivated to do something positive. That means you're motivated because you know and you've received the benefits of whatever it was that made you glad. And our benefit is the fact that God woke us up this morning. Our benefit is the fact that God has given us health and strength. Our benefit is the fact that God has blessed us with some beautiful clothes, nice cars, warm houses. I mean, we are the richest people on the face of the earth, you know, comparatively speaking. And we truly oftentimes don't remember what God has done for us. We look at our circumstance and our situation, and we allow that to cloud our judgment to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, our service is everything we do. Yes. Because everything we do, he says, everything you do in word or in deed. Yes. Now, that takes care of our whole personhood. He says, do all unto the Lord. So when we serve the Lord with gladness, what we're saying, even when we're going through, that Lord, you're going to deliver me out of this situation. This is just temporary. Lord, you're allowing me to grow. You're working something out of me, or you're working something in me that's going to be to my benefit. And so when we understand and take on that mentality, we can be glad. We can serve him with a grateful heart, because all things are going to work together for our good. We got to believe that. We got to know it. It's not just God's word. We got to know that in our mind so that it translates into our spirit, so it translates in our action. As a man thinketh in his heart, the thing that motivates you and I to do and to say the things we do, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think you're going to have a bad day, if you think that, you know, this is a place I don't really want to be, but I'm going to go because it's my duty and it's what people expect me to do. Hey, that's not serving the Lord with gladness. Amen. Amen? Now, I know sometimes we get tired and we're a little weary. Now, that's a little different. But when you get to the house of the Lord and you really begin to serve the Lord and sing unto him on the way to church, that something about that weariness just lifts off you. I tell you, there's been many a time I ain't feel like coming here and preaching. I'm being honest with you. But what motivated me to come was, look, if I can just get among God's people, hallelujah, if I can just get a hug, if I can just get a smile, if somebody can just shake my hand this week, you know, I can keep on keeping on in the name of the Lord. Amen. And so that's the way we need to be. So we serve the Lord with gladness. He says what? Come before his presence with singing. All right, now there's a difference between making a joyful sound or a joyful noise and singing. I'll try to differentiate that. I mentioned the fact that sometimes you just hum. Sometimes in your spirit, you know, you're just groaning and moaning before the Lord. That's making a joyful sound. We don't understand it all the time, but when we all can sing. He says what? Come before his presence with singing. Every time we wake up, we come into his presence. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is the supernatural God. He says, all things, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwell therein. All things are under his sovereign power. And that's why we don't need to fret. That's why we don't need to worry. He tells us, you know. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. How? Say it. Thank you, Gene. With thanksgiving. There it is. Make your request known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. We begin to thank God for what he's going to deliver us out of. I don't care if you're bankrupt. I don't care if you, you know, got an eviction notice. Whatever the circumstance is, our God is bigger than that circumstance. Yes, yes. And if he allows us to go through it, it's for a beneficial purpose. Now, we don't always see it right away. We look through a glass darkly or dimly, right? But then there's going to come a time when we come face to face with the reality of the situation. And that's where we get in trouble. We don't want to wait on the Lord. But if we're willing to wait on him, he will reveal the truth as long as our hearts are prepared and we have the right attitude. So we know that he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Just that fact alone, that he is our creator. He created us in his own image, in his own likeness, is enough to give God praise and to give him thanksgiving. Praise his name. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. See, that has to do with possession. We belong to God. and he belongs to us. And if we're his people, we serve what? A holy God. We serve a righteous God. We serve an all-powerful God. We serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold are his. We serve a God who has everything that we need. And then some. We serve a God who does things beyond what we can ask or even imagine. And see, when we get that really in our spirit and we begin to embrace it and we begin to walk by faith in the fact that, look, there ain't nothing that I can experience that God and I can't handle, then we understand and know that we serve a true and a living God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. And so if we serve the true and living God, and he's made available all things that pertain unto this life, and unto godliness, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same spirit that resides in us. We have access to supernatural things. And I say this, that God wants his people who are truly called by his name to walk in the supernatural realm. And we can do it with our attitude. We can do it with our faith and our trust to believe that God will deliver us. And he will sustain us, and he will keep us, and he will bless us as we are obedient according to his word. Hallelujah. Now, I want the young people to know, yeah, there are going to be times when we're going to exhibit sadness. There are going to be times when we're going to be scared, but we don't let that consume us, okay? I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to make it seem like we're, you know, we have everything together. But what we do, young people, is we offer that up to God. God, you know, I'm having trouble in this area. God, I got a little fear here, but Lord, I know your word says, you know, you don't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You see, when we go to God with our troubles instead of go to somebody else, then God honors that. Y'all, if you can learn that early, I tell you, it'll keep you out of a lot of drama. Amen. All right, so he says, look, know that the Lord, he is God. He is made, he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his sheep. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What are his gates? It gives us this picture of the court. In the Old Testament, you had the outer gate, you had the inner gate, and then you had the Holy of Holies. All right? So he says, look, when we come from, you know, our business in the world, when we come to a place where the people of God are going to congregate, he says we are to enter into that place with thanksgiving. I already talked about that. It begins with our heart. It begins before we even get there. But he says, at the very least, we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then as we enter with thanksgiving, that's the praise portion of our service. He says, we enter his courts with praise. We begin to tell God, God, you are great. You're an awesome God. God, there is none like you. Holy is the Lord, our God. And we begin to let God know how much we appreciate him. We enter into his courts with praise. And he says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. See, we bless God by satisfying the fact that, look, Lord, I love you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I am thankful for what you've already done and what you're going to do, Lord. I bless God by being obedient. See, when we make God happy, guess what? God makes us happy. Young people, when you make your parents happy, when they are satisfied with what you're doing, that's when you get blessings, right?
Amen.
Right? Thank you. Thank you. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. You keep your parents happy. You keep them, you know, in a state where you're obedient, you're doing the things they ask you to do. I know these people in here, they're going to bless you. And y'all bless. God is the same way. It's no mystery how we can bless God. But it has to do with what motivates us and then our willingness to be obedient and sometimes to suffer some things. But in the end, we know we always win. In the end, we know we always are blessed. He says, look, for the Lord is good. Isn't God good? He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We got to experience God. But the tasting is not just in the good things. It's during the troubling times that we taste and see that God is good. Now, I'm just going to pick out Dominique. Dominique is on the step team. Now, Dominique, we wouldn't know how good you could step if you didn't go to practice and do all those things before you did your performance at the games or whatever. You see, what I'm trying to say here is that God allows us to go through things in life so that we can perfect the gifts that he's given us. And many times those things translate into trials and tribulations. So that we can help somebody else. So someone else can observe how we handle situations. And then they can say, wow, man, Dominique, she's bad. You know, maybe I want to go out for the step team. I'm motivated. And then she come up to you, Dominique, how are you so good? Well, I practice so many hours a week. You know? You let them know that, look, this didn't come easy. Unless it came easy to you. It might do. You get it. But the point I'm trying to make is, see, God uses these situations so that we can be a blessing to others. But we give God all the praise. That's one of the things I admire about many of the professional athletes now. Now they point up and they give God praise. Now, I hope it's the right God. But nevertheless, they are giving God some kind of acknowledgement. And so in all the things that we do, we acknowledge God. That's blessing God. That's making them happy. My child, you know, they love me. I know they're not perfect, but their heart is to do the things that I want them to do. And that's where God can bless us even when we mess up. Amen?
Amen.
He says what? For the Lord is good. His mercy. He extends us time to get things right, to get our relationships right. Because God is into our relationships with him and with our fellow men and women, boys and girls. His mercy is what? Everlasting. They don't quit. His mercy never quits. And so we too can have mercy. Some of us don't have mercy. Somebody do something to us, we ready to cuss them out. Give them a piece of my mind. I can't afford to give nobody none of my mind. Got enough trouble with the one I have. Lay my religion down. Things like that. God says have mercy. He has say have long suffering. Forbear with one another in love. Because he does the same for us. And for that we should be thankful. If we get what we deserve from God, none of us would be here. Amen. Because the wages of sin is death. But thank God for the but the gift of God is eternal life. Yes. And in that eternal life, he has mercy. Mercy. Not only just are they everlasting, but they endure to all generations. The reason Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet is he's still concerned about people who've not heard the gospel. And even those who've heard the gospel, he's still giving them time to receive him. As many as would receive him, to them he gave power, authority to become the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. So listen, when we look at this 100th Psalm, the whole thing has to do with our attitude of thanksgiving, our willingness to make God happy. You see, too many times we want God to make us happy. Instead of asking God for so much, sometimes let's ask God, God, what is it can I do to make you happy? What is it that I can do, Lord? What can I render? There you go, Elder Jackson. What can I render, Lord, to serve you and someone else? And you know what? If you're sincere about it, God will show you. He'll set up the circumstances. He might parade a homeless person right by you, and you got a pocket full of money, just got paid, and he or she might need some money. And the first thing I would advise you to do is pray for wisdom, because folk will take advantage of you, all right? But the Spirit of God, if you're sincere, will say, well, offer to take that person to the store and buy them what they need, or give them, you know, a sum of money. He's related that to me many times. But the point I'm trying to make is, see, it's not all about us. Thanksgiving is about making God happy. And we make God happy with the choices that we make. The choices that we make to serve him with gladness. The choices that we make that's going to bless him and in turn is going to bless others. And God is going to take care of our needs. I'm going to conclude with this. Say this with me. When I take care of God's business, he will take care of my business. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are. You are the epitome of love. And Lord, we know that love is based on action, based on what you have already provided for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself, came in the form of sinful flesh, the one who went to Calvary's cross. But even before that, Lord, he suffered. He bled. And then, Lord God, eventually, as he was nailed to that cross, he was pierced in the side, spilled all his blood. He gave up his spirit to you. And he said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost, Lord God. But on the third day, he rose victorious with all power in his hand. And Lord, as he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, Lord, to meet you in heaven, he bestowed that power and authority to the church. And that's us, Lord. Father, help us to be thankful people. Lord, help us to be mindful, Lord God, that there's nothing in this life that we can experience that you cannot deliver us from. Help us to be less self-centered, Lord, and more God-centered. Lord, I speak blessings over these, your young people, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for our young adults in college, those who've graduated, Lord God. Put them, Lord God, on the career path that you have ordained and purposed for them before the foundation of the world. Father, I thank you and I bless you for their parents and for their mentors, Lord, in this place and others. Lord, help us to have a God perspective as we, Lord, minister and teach and be examples before them. Lord, we give you all glory and all praise and all honor that you so richly deserve. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I look around, I believe every one of you have professed the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Every one of you are members of his church.